And welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink.
Good morning.
You are here. And welcome, everybody, to Lambda Weekly, world's oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian talk show. Several things that we want to talk about today. First of all, Patty, do you have any comments about legitimate rape?
I just think this whole discussion with the idiot Aiken from Missouri is just, you couldn't write this stuff. You just couldn't make it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is so stupid. And the thing is, he's talked about apologizing for using the word.
One wrong word.
The legitimate.
When he
hasn't apologized for this whole idea that his idea of biology and science is so incredibly ignorant.
Okay, so I get that he's saying, okay, I didn't mean legitimate rape. He used a different word, which actually made more sense.
Forcible rape.
Okay, so he's talking about what I really meant to say there was forcible rape as opposed to unforcible rape, apparently.
Right. Now,
I get it that what he's really talking about maybe is, well, but force, it doesn't have to be violent to be forcible. There are different, I don't know, levels of rape, whatever.
There's just different degrees of violence.
Like the president said, rape is rape.
Right.
Okay, that's a better way to put it. There are different degrees of violence involved in rape. But rape is rape.
Right.
Okay.
What he really screwed up was this whole idea of the science that somehow a woman's body knows that it's a
everybody's caught up in the legit.
Well, from rape, and therefore, what was his word, shuts that whole thing down.
Okay, so once we get beyond the legitimate rape part, and he says, you know, I misspoke one word one time on one show. So obviously he's been talking about this. First time he ventured into the legitimate rape part. So once we get beyond that, are we going to be able to discuss the junk science part?
I certainly hope so, because that's disturbing. That's really disturbing. And these are the people that say we should teach our kids less about how reproduction works.
Because they don't understand how it works. I want them to teach it less, because if that's what they're teaching, I don't want them teaching their junk science. What's frightening is Aiken is on the science committee in Congress.
Oh, I know.
He's on the science committee.
It's frightening.
He doesn't have a clue about how his own body works. How is he going to be on the science committee talking about NASA and talking about research, disease research and vaccine research? And how is he going to do that?
Engineering and entrepreneurship and the internet and, you know, commerce. And it's disturbing to me.
This is the person that we've entrusted all that to. What, are we nuts? I mean, and it's us. We elect these people.
Well, Missouri did. And hopefully Missouri will not take another step and keep advancing this guy. I mean, rewarding him with a promotion is not the way to go with this guy. It really isn't.
When I say we, I guess I'm saying we because you might not have noticed, but we have a couple of crackpots running our government here in Texas.
Right.
So just because it's this guy, I haven't heard many of them here in Texas, other than Cornyn. Senator Cornyn did repudiate him, but I haven't heard a whole lot of these Texas Republicans saying, you know, this guy's wrong. That's not how it works.
So this guy's in Missouri spouting this stuff and then trying to dial it back while keeping his campaign going, even mm-hmm. though his party wants him, for everybody top to bottom wants him to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in Tampa, the Republican Party is having its platform committee meeting and sealed up a platform that has no provision for it. Their position is no abortion of any kind for the life of the mother, for rape or incest.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically agreeing with this nut job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, officially. They're officially agreeing with him.
Well, what they're saying is that whether or not they're using the same junk science, they're saying, and if you do get pregnant as a result of rape, which in my religion, and I belong to a mainstream religion, that's considered disgusting to ask the woman to carry that child full term. In my religion also, in Judaism, I know this is Israeli law, that if it's a matter of the mother's life or the child's life, you have to protect the mother's life. That's by Israeli law, and Israeli law is based on biblical law. And am I saying biblical law all says one thing? No, but I think they're pretty good at interpreting it in one particular way. So by doing this, they're really interfering with me practicing my religion.
Well,
I mean, it gets down to that religious argument, which they love to use.
Well, it's just completely and wholly insane. And the other thing that's in their platform is this whole idea of a personhood amendment to the Constitution they want to do, so that a zygote can be considered a person. Mm-hmm. So we have corporations being persons, and we have two-cell, four-cell sized organisms
being persons.
Being persons.
The only thing that is not considered a person or protected is a woman.
Apparently.
Because
that's what
you're not a person, Patty Fink. If you were
because
just
I'm expendable. If
you
I
were
get
just
raped
a zygote,
and something happens to my well-being in that process,
if you were just a zygote, I could figure out a way to protect you, but I can't figure out a way to protect you. And when I say protect you, I understand people who are against abortion in many cases. I'm talking about the very basic protecting a woman's life, that if that pregnancy was going to threaten a woman's life, I'm not getting how that non-viable zygote is more important than the woman's life. And in many cases, had she gone full term or tried to go full term with this baby in a case where it's threatening the woman's life, she's not going to live.
Right.
And how is the zygote going to live? How is the fetus, once it's a little older, going to live?
And I worked in a clinical situation where we were primarily a neonatal and pediatric women's facility. And it happens every day, all the time. There are life-threatening situations that happen in the practice of birthing babies. It can be because the baby's in distress, but if the mother's in distress, the baby's going to be in distress. And to just, willy-nilly sweeping without any consideration of the circumstances or what the family might want or anything else, they're going to say the government's going to decide what happens to your life, even though they want less government. It's just, the whole thing
makes
is just
no
so
sense.
Insane.
It just makes no sense whatsoever.
And I think it's incredibly, especially this guy Aiken, is just so incredibly misogynistic. I mean, you have to have a really, really low opinion of women to say that in the first place. And to try to dial it back.
What's a biblical view of women?
It's so pathetic.
We've been joking that, well, I believe in marriage as it's existed since biblical times. Well, if you actually want to read the Bible, there are three ways that you can get married. There was no marriage ceremony. It's not like two people stood before the priest or the rabbi or the whatever, and do you take this man, do you take this woman? That's a new modern invention. That's something that came about maybe in the 1600s, 1700s. You could buy the woman. The woman could have been married, and if her husband died, well, then it's up to his family to take care of her. If he has a brother, he has to marry her. Or you could rape the woman, and as long as you agreed to then marry the woman,
then she's yours.
She's
now
yours.
She's property.
She's yours. She's your property. That's biblical marriage. So, and if they want to argue marriage since it's existed since biblical times, that's traditional biblical marriage. Three ways to marry, period, end of story. There's no ceremony. There's no, let's stop with that nonsense. But rape was one of the ways that you marry somebody. So they're actually going back to and taking ownership of this rape thing. I mean, I really see it that way, that these people who are so overtaken and absorbed by, well, the Bible says it, and I happen to be fairly religious, but in my religion, we have the Bible in perspective. We understand that it was written several thousand years ago and believe that it has some good guiding principles and some good basis for law. You don't kill, you don't hurt other people, that kind of thing. But we don't read it and say, well, that's how they lived 3,000 years ago, so that's how we have to live now. We understand that, well, we're not fundamentalists is what it is.
Right.
You know, the book is there for a number of reasons. And some of those stories are just that. They're stories, they're allegories, they're there to teach lessons, but they're not there to be followed word for word. Because guess what?
I think when the science, day comes and we, you know, we get to hear directly from the source, that, you know, we might hear the words, "There was a lot of editing going on." Mm-hmm. That's not what I said. And I think that's going to be pretty true mm-hmm. across the board.
You know, why are there so many Jewish doctors? Well, because we believe in science.
You have a great education ethic. I think that's why.
But where does that education ethic come from? It comes from looking at the Bible and not saying, "Oh, it says it right there in black and white. It says those three words, so that means that's what it means."
It comes from thinking.
It's okay. It says that. Now, what does that mean? And the idea that you're a fundamentalist about it is completely an idiotic concept to the people who wrote the book. I mean, that's just what it is. This guy, though, I want to just keep going with this guy, Aiken. So a number of people are calling for his removal. Of course, Claire McCaskill, who's the Democratic senator, who was way behind him in the polls and probably was going to lose to him, she said, you know, the voters of Missouri have spoken, and this is the guy they want representing them. I think he should stay on the ballot. How cynical would she be?
Well, I think not only cynical, pretty smart. And the guy is so stubborn that his entire party is calling for him to step down so they can get somebody else put on the ballot. And by 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, he had still said, "I'm staying here."
So, and 5 o'clock was a deadline mm-hmm. for removing him from the ballot and putting new names
on. Now, he does have another opportunity to come off the ballot should he decide to do so.
What is that?
He can, with up to 6 weeks before the election, because at some point they print ballots. Let's just be serious here. They got to print the ballots, mm-hmm. you know. And they can't white out with liquid paper on all of them after a certain point. And so Missouri has a history with that, too. I wanted to kind of remind people about that, too. But the thing is, up to 6 weeks, he can get a court order to get himself removed from the ballot. And imagine if he goes to seek that. What is he going to claim as his reason? Because he had ample time to get off the ballot.
He'll claim loss of support from his party.
And because everybody has. I mean, Karl Rove's group has pulled their money. The Republican National Committee has pulled their money.
Yeah, they pulled their money for today. I think what this guy is betting on
I think they want
that they'll quietly give him the money later on.
Oh, I don't think so. I think they're going to put it in races they can actually win.
He's betting that the money will come back to him.
Yeah, they'll give it to me. But they're not. I don't see how they would. I mean, because they're millions of dollars they're going to plunk somewhere that they can actually reap some rewards.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, Claire McCaskill has to go to court and say, "I oppose the court order." Mm-hmm. He has no valid reason to do so. I mean, because of this stink up until now, he's not going to get away with trying to stop.
Well, but if his
judge.
Name's off the ballot, so the court order could put somebody else's name
right.
on the ballot.
Would allow the Republican Party to put someone else on the ballot. At the last, you know, within 6 weeks.
And how would they choose this person?
I may be a runner-up or somebody from the state, whatever their state rules are for that, to replace people on the ballot. But let's remember that this time, I believe, 6 years ago, or no, it's been longer than that. It's been at least 10. John Ashcroft was on the ballot for the Senate seat that Governor of Missouri Mel Carnahan was on. Mm-hmm. And weeks before the election, he died in a plane crash.
Right.
And Mel Carnahan, deceased, is creamed John Ashcroft. So John Ashcroft lost to the dead guy in Missouri.
Now, in that case, were a lot of people in Missouri voting out of respect to Carnahan? Now, it had been, it was within the 6 weeks, and it was already announced by the governor that Mrs. Carnahan would be named to the seat
if
he won. Yes,
if you vote for Mel Carnahan, I will appoint his mm-hmm. wife.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that's what a lot of people were actually doing? I mean, saying...
Well, it was John Ashcroft.
Ashcroft lost to the dead guy, right.
Maybe no matter how you cut it up, they weren't going to vote for John Ashcroft.
They weren't, no. So that's Missouri. Aiken is still on the ballot. The convention is next week. Now, what they can do is completely ignore this whole situation.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Not talk about abortion from the stage. If the convention even goes on, there's a hurricane that's headed straight for Tampa right now that they're expecting to hit next week. So the convention might get wiped out. But assuming it goes on, you think they'll just ignore the whole...
They'll ignore the Aiken thing for sure. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if they get up and proclaim the virtues of their platform that includes, you know, no provision for, you know, it makes it illegal to have an abortion, basically, in all cases.
And do you think they'll be proclaiming that? Because actually Romney has distanced himself from that provision. He actually came out and said that, you know, in the case of saving a woman's life, in the case of rape, abortion should be legal. And he said that just as the platform was coming out saying that, no, it shouldn't.
Well, I mean, his instructions, I don't know if you've been following the RNC's platform stuff, but they've been, he's basically instructed through his people that he has appointed on the drafting committee to keep it as general, everything as general as possible, mm-hmm. because he doesn't want to be boxed in. I mean, just yesterday he was campaigning in Houston at a fundraiser of 100, 150 people, and he started to explain his energy policy that he's about to roll out, but he says, oh, I would, except there are media people here, mm-hmm. people here from the media, so I won't. So he doesn't want anybody to know what he's going to do if he were to win.
So
I mean, he wanted the whole platform to be as general as possible so he doesn't get boxed in.
But without the media there, is that really rolling out a policy?
No, he wasn't rolling it out. He was, you know, I assume he was going to do that today or at some point this week.
Well, but that's not rolling it out if I can't say anything because there are media people here.
He's going to roll it out on his timing. He was just going to, like, you know, tease him with it.
No, I think what he was going to do was tell this private group, look, don't worry. You're going to hear me campaigning on this platform, but actually once I'm elected, don't worry. There will be big energy benefits for all of you people from
oil
Shell
companies.
And Exxon, BP, you know, whatever. That's what he was really saying when he couldn't speak about his new policy to all of you people who, you know, I really want to tell you something, but I can't because so-and-so from the media might report it. That's what he was really saying. We haven't heard from him a single concrete plan on anything, have we?
No.
I mean, I've been looking
taxes
for it.
And, I mean, most of what they've been saying since Ryan was selected was that they'll discuss that in the light of day, meaning after the election,
mm-hmm.
That's when they're going to, you know, roll out what they would do, which I think is fundamentally kind of counterintuitive to the idea of an election. For an election, you basically state, if you elect me in office, I'll do this and such.
Do you think they're going to actually debate during this election period?
Yeah,
Obama and Romney.
Yeah, they're already set up. I have all the dates. There's a whole bunch of them in October.
So you think they're going to actually...
There will be three.
But
plus a vice presidential one.
But that's really not what I'm saying. Do you think that they're actually going to debate? Do you think that the president is going to say, my policy is to maintain Medicare, and Romney is going to say, well, our policy is to preserve Medicare, and when the moderator says how, that he will actually give an answer? Or do you think this will just be stand-up generalizations that there will not actually be a debate?
I don't think he's going to get through and give any kind of concrete detail, but, I mean, we'll see. That, mm-hmm. that should be some good watching TV.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and we were talking legitimate rape is how that started. We're going to talk suicide when we come back from our break.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people. Thanks for putting your voice in during Pledge Drive. We reached our goal, so let's get back to the music you love.
Medicare and Medicaid recipients may qualify for additional services including dental, vision, and transportation through DFW Medicare Health Benefits. These plans also cover dentures and partials. For more information, 214-501-7330. That's 214-501-7330. Agents are available from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. 7 days a week. Vision, dentures, partials, and transportation may be available to recipients of Medicare and Medicaid through DFW Medicare Health Benefits at 214-501-7330.
Did you know that KNOW podcasts all of its local talk shows? KNOW has local talk Monday through Friday, each show covering your community in its own unique way. So if you missed one of our great morning talk shows, you can go back and listen to it online. We keep the shows for 2 months so you can hear everything you have been missing out on. Visit KNOW.org for more information about the KNOW Morning Talk Shows podcast, also available on iTunes.
KNOM is proud to announce the release of Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, our latest blues compilation CD to benefit community radio and sponsored by Forever Young Records. This CD features 15 tracks and 60 minutes of great original Dallas-Fort Worth blues from artists like Tutu Jones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, Johnny Red and the Roosters, the Chris Watson Band, the Two Tones, the Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone and Charlie Love, Dave Millsap, Sir Loin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, and J&J and the Detonators. The CD is strictly limited to 1,000 copies and will never be reissued. Get your copy now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, Hills Records in Dallas, and Rewind Music. The CD is available as a download at KNON.org. All proceeds benefit KNON Community Radio. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit us online at KNON.org.
She looks like a movie star in one of them fancy Broadway shows.
Coming Friday, August 31st, to Sons of Herman Hall, it's the Great Recession Orchestra in a KNON benefit event. The Great Recession Orchestra features an all-star lineup starring Marianne Price, Floyd Domino, Damon Gray, J.D. Smith, hey, that's me, Bubba Stevens, Michael Holloman, Gary Bristol, Ray Austin, and special guests performing Western Swing, the wild child of country and jazz with the blues shot from its heart. The Great Recession Orchestra is among the foremost 21st century practitioners of this all-American music. Be there Friday, August 31st, when they take the stage at the Sons of Herman Hall. The Alligator Cafe will be serving free barbecue. Mark your calendars. Tickets are available now at KNON.org, Bill's Records, Forever Young Records, and the Record Town in Fort Worth. Doors open at 8, and the first set of music starts at 8:30. That's Friday, August 31st. Two great sets of music from the Great Recession Orchestra and a free barbecue dinner at the Sons of Herman Hall. Get your tickets now. All the sunshine.
Hi, this is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
This is Lambda Weekly, and I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink.
I'm here.
You are here. Well, just the late Patty Fink, and actually here in
the early on time Patty.
Yeah, the early on time Patty Fink. Suicide. We had a very high profile suicide that happened this week in Fort Worth. Second one in the gay community in Fort Worth this year. Earlier this year, Dave Gaynor, who was on the national board of the Service Members Legal Defense Network.
He committed suicide. And very instrumental in working to get Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed and working on lots of other things locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm. And he committed suicide earlier this year over the weekend and shot himself. Same thing. Tom Annable, who was one of the founders of Fairness Fort Worth, he committed suicide this week. The first one bothered both of us. Dave had been a guest on our show a number of times. With each step of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that last year of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he was on our show at each step.
And then several times afterward where we were celebrating sort of milestones, mm-hmm. going through the process of getting the repeal fully enacted.
Now, Dave had been working on Don't Ask, Don't Tell since 1993. Were there signs there? Yes. Just before his death, he gave away all of his paperwork. He submitted it to the Phil Johnson Library over at the Resource Center. And looking back, there were several signs. Tom was different in a different way. Tom was working on anti-bullying legislation, which is one reason that this suicide just bothers the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's disturbing. I was alarmed when I first heard it. It was disturbing.
Let me preface this discussion a little bit, because Tom was at the raid of the Rainbow Lounge. He was actually their accountant. And after the raid, he sold his practice, jumped in with 2 feet in a way that he had never been before into activism. He had never been active before and just decided, you know, that was his wake-up call. I have to do something. Went from doing not a whole lot to doing absolutely full-time, nonstop.
And he did a remarkable job.
Yes, he did.
I mean, in a sort of a crisis situation, he really... I thought he did a very remarkable job.
Here's why I decided on Monday to even discuss this on the show. I got a call. Tom became one of the assistant producers of the film Raid of the Rainbow Lounge that Robert Kamina made. Robert has been on our show talking about the film.
And the film's wonderful.
The film is wonderful. The film, Aaron is in it.
Mm-hmm.
The film has been shown in Dallas several times. It was shown in Fort Worth, and now it's on a film festival circuit, not just gay film festival, but mainstream festivals he's getting it into, and winning every festival that it's in, winning best film. Tom was one of the assistant producers. There were four or five assistant producers, and a friend of mine who was one of the others, who no longer lives in Dallas. He lives up in Seattle, but he saw it on Facebook that Tom had committed suicide. He gave me a call, and he said, there's something about this that's just bothering me. And this is where, and we talked for like a half an hour. This is what was bothering him. This is what was bothering me about it. With other suicides in the gay community, Dave's was terrible. It was an awful example. It was an example of selfishness. What he did to his partner was devastating.
And I think so many of the family and friends and those who loved him, I was it really upset me quite a lot. I was angry, I was hurt, I was disappointed that he took his own life, and I didn't know and maybe don't want to know the full circumstances of it. I didn't know if it was a rash decision he made in the spur of the moment. As many are, those decisions, well, I'm just going to take my life now. Or if it was this long time planned thing. You know, I don't know all those things, and I don't know it about Tom. I just don't know those things. And I'm.
One thing Dave had done.
It's disturbing.
After giving away all of his papers from Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which everybody looked at as, well, he doesn't need them anymore because, you know, now this is history. And nobody looked at it as anything other than that.
I certainly didn't.
Right.
I thought it was a tremendous gesture that is just a rich history of all of the things that had to take place to make that law go away.
Know, and you figure a few things that were in that box, like one of the last papers was his invitation to the White House to attend the signing of the legislation.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that's something that, you know, I want to give you my papers, but that's something I want to frame and keep on my wall type of thing. And everybody thought, well, you know, there might be a few papers in there, so he made a couple of copies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, reasonable. But the week he died, he also resigned from SLDN. He resigned from anything that he had been part of. And, you know, but nobody saw it as a suicide warning. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking with Tom.
This is speculation.
Completely speculation, but no, these are some things that I saw. He was at the raid of the Rainbow Lounge. He was actually at the Rainbow Lounge that night, and jumped into activism, completely devoting his full life to it. And he did a number of things, like help start Fairness Fort Worth along with several other people, but became the president of it because he was working it full time.
Mm-hmm.
He helped bring a number of new ordinances to Fort Worth especially adding trans protections to their sexual orientation protections that were already in the city charter.
Non-discrimination.
And they were bringing partnership benefits, other things like that to the city. Are the things that Fort Worth did to say, no, what happened at the Rainbow Lounge is not us. He also worked more recently with Fort Worth Independent School District to bring about an anti-bullying policy that, along with Dallas's, are the most progressive in the state. And I've been talking to Equality Texas about this. Dallas and Fort Worth are the only two in the state that are LGBT specific, mm-hmm. that that go really be above and beyond what the state law requires. And on the Fort Worth side, Tom was instrumental in passing that. Now, here's what bothers me about it more than anything. Bullying is what started the anti-bullying legislation. Kids killing themselves, including several high-profile ones here in Texas, are the reason that that legislation got passed. It was their parents going to the legislature and kids from Youth First Texas talking to legislators and saying, here's how I was bullied, and other people getting together and saying, this isn't how schools should work. And
it's such a big thing, because we've lost so many young people who just can't take it anymore, and they see this as the way to go forward.
Now, here's
to not go forward.
Here's my question. When somebody who was the person who got this bullying legislation or ordinance or whatever policy passed in the Fort Worth School District to prevent the bullying that's causing the kids from dropping out of school and, worse, killing themselves, when he kills himself, does he invalidate what his own work?
Well, it's just so deeply disappointing, not only for all of that, but for himself and his own life and his family and his close friends and the members of his community. It's just so sad and so unnecessary. I do think that there's maybe a place where people feel legitimately that's their right to do so, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying I think it's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually with like terminal illnesses and that sort of thing, where, you know, they don't see a road ahead that gets better. It doesn't get better, but for the rest of us, it does. If you look in the right places, and primarily when you reach out to others, and get active in your community and do things for others, it really helps people lift themselves out of a bad mental place or a bad emotional place. Mm-hmm. And Tom was doing all of those things, and so it's confusing. It's disappointing. It's painful to think that he did this.
Yeah.
I think it's very selfish for people to do that.
And you brought up a couple of points. Sometimes somebody is diagnosed with a terminal illness, and at a certain point, it involves a lot of pain. I get it. When somebody decides to end their life there, in that case, what they're doing is sometimes ending the pain for themselves and also for the people around them who have to watch this person go through so much pain. We're not putting this in that category.
No.
Nothing has been released. Maybe he was diagnosed with something just recently and he decided, I just don't want to go through that. I don't know. That's possible.
It's without knowing all of those things, though, it is disheartening, because he had been so high profile in the anti-bullying campaign,
mm-hmm.
and successful.
And successful at it. I mean, I'm not taking away what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He got several new ordinances passed in Fort Worth and new policies at DISD and worked with Resource Center Dallas to get new policies in place in places like the North Central Texas Council of Governments, I think it's called, which is an organization that has about 200 local government organizations as part of it. And one thing they do, they run a police academy, mm-hmm. for places like Farmers Branch.
Right.
You know, that and
it's
other...
It's a regional one.
They run a regional police academy. All of a sudden, just a few months ago, I'm saying a few months ago, I think it was July, non-discrimination policies in place in the North Texas Council of Governments. Covers 200 or more government bodies. Great. Places like the North Texas, I forgot what it's called, North Texas Toll Road Authority, the NTTA. Okay, how do you get discriminated against driving on your road? Well, it's not for them, it's for the employees of these projects. Who else recently added? A number of different government, DFW Airport. Okay, so how do you get discriminated against at the airport? Well, it's not people going through the airport, but it's for their 300 employees. Now they have non-discrimination in place. And all of these government bodies now suddenly have non-discrimination policies in place. Tom was instrumental in saying, you know, Resource Center is saying Dallas wants this. Fairness Fort Worth is saying Fort Worth wants this. Both have worked with city government. City government is working with regional government, governmental body. That's huge success that mm-hmm. he's had. A couple of things could have happened.
Yeah, and
here's where the speculation comes in. He suddenly jumped into this activism. It's real easy to burn out.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, you really do have to pace yourselves. I mean, and you know, we've laughed several times because I, you know, like LaRon does his entertainment report, and we talk about, you know, the shows coming up on Logo or whatever, and I said we never watch this. We never watch LGBT television really at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we get all that stuff all the time. It's like, you know, enough's enough. So we don't gravitate to that at all because it's not as entertaining as because we're dealing with it all the time.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to get.
Plus,
you know,
I have
like
a job.
You don't want to deal with it anymore.
I have a job. You have a job.
Break. Yeah.
When I leave here, you go to the day job. You leave here very often. You and I don't even talk after the show. It's like, the appointment, you know, and
you're racing
off to the day job. And Tom quit that. Now, again, I don't know his personal life. He could have gotten to a point where his practice was just big enough that he had the opportunity to sell it, and I'm going to sell it, retire, and just do something else. You've changed jobs before.
Mm-hmm. Not very often.
I've changed jobs before. But why do you do that? Ooh, an opportunity to do something new. And he hadn't changed jobs before. This is what he had done. He had been, I mean, he might have gone from working for somebody else into his own practice. But that was what he had done. He was an accountant, so
right.
That's what he had done.
And I hope that when I retire, I take on a cause. Hopefully, it's not going to be this one. Maybe we'll have accomplished a lot more before, because I'm going to be working a long time. I can't retire till way later. but you know, I hope when that time comes that I'm able to just travel the world and and see things and enjoy and do what I do causes I want to do. Not that I don't want to do these. I desperately do. But you know what I mean? That there won't be, it'll be more voluntary than
But you
like
and
I
have
to.
Done this kind of thing
not.
All our lives. I mean, I've been involved in the gay community since I was in college, and you know, a cause would come along and you get more, and then something. At work, I work at the Dallas Voice, and you would think, oh, okay, well, that's part of Gay Inc. And but no, it isn't, because you know why? Sometimes I do a story just because that's the news out there, and then sometimes I do a story because I want to do this story. It's just a nice story that I want to write. My story on Jerry Buckmeyer last week was the story of the history of the decision that happened 30 years ago this week, where a federal judge declared the sodomy laws, 2106, sodomy law, unconstitutional. It was the first time that had ever happened anywhere in the country. And, you know, I'm friendly with his two kids, and so I got to talk to them, and it was just a nice history story that I was writing. It really wasn't meant to be a big activism story. Supreme Court has now, it took 20 years, but the Supreme Court reinstated his decision, basically saying that it was unconstitutional. there was no activism involved there. It was strictly history. It was strictly something that was a pleasure to write. That's how I back off from all of this, you know, intense activism. But very often guests that we have on the show, it's not a matter of any kind of activism. It's just, you know, we're talking about the arts or we're talking about something else. You know, today we're talking about suicide and legitimate rape. Okay, so here we're on our high horses and don't have a guest this morning so that we could talk about these things. But next week's show is going to be, you know, and we do pace ourselves that way in a way that maybe Tom wasn't doing, that he was one thing and then, okay, what's the next step? Okay, what's the next step? And maybe hit a hurdle of some sort. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
You're listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people. Thanks for putting your voice in during Pledge Drive. We reached our goal, so let's get back to the music you love.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent Pledge Drive. Now is the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON's P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. That's KNON Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure you put the name of the show you are supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON Pledge Drive, call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
Almost everything you see and hear comes from the bosses. Employees, listeners, and viewers don't have any control over commercial media. Bosses do. The outlook and opinions of corporate media are expressed everywhere and all the time. The outlook and opinions of workers get no expression. No other radio or TV station has any time committed to the workers. KNON Workers Beat, featuring Labor Alive. Talk show is the exception. Join us every Friday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. with your host, Gene Lance, on KNON 89.3 FM, the voice of the people. KNON thanks the Communications Workers of America for their support of this program.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Patty Fink, and we're talking suicide, because there was a very high-profile suicide that happened in Fort Worth this week in the gay community, and it's the second one that happened in the gay community this year. Do you think that part of the reason that this one bothers both of us so much, beyond having lost somebody in the community, you know, nobody's saying, oh, well, you know, whatever, him. We're both saying this one is upsetting. To me, this one is even more upsetting because it's the second one. It's not here's one, here's two, here's a second one, and one plus one is two of them. To me, one and then a second one, they multiply each other. And it becomes a much greater thing. Or do you think, no, that one happened, then the other one happened, people move on with their lives?
I would not proclaim to say that I knew Tom really well, but I did know Dave. It's just been so painful to think about, because I think we knew his heart. I mean, I felt like I did, that he really didn't want kids to do what he did. He really didn't want anyone to do what he did, and yet he did it. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult to understand, and it's almost just as painful to try to understand it. Mm-hmm. I mean, where I have to go with that is that for whatever reason, at whatever level, wherever it was that he was at when he did that, it was the only thing he thought he could do at the time. And it breaks my heart that he gave up. You know what I mean? He just gave up.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was over at Youth First Texas. And I was there taking some pictures and just doing some stuff for the Pride Guide for the parade. But I spent the evening over there with them and went through their whole program with them. I wasn't the program, but I stayed for the program, and you know what? Those kids really do look at what our generation is doing and saying, and we had a nice conversation, and during the program they were engaged in asking questions. It wasn't like, oh, well, yeah, their generation, and, you know, they're just like my parents. It wasn't like that at all. It really was, tell me about such and such. Do you know one of the things that they were interested in? Because one of the, part of this program was, what would you like to do for upcoming programs? And three or four of them suggested, because they went around the room, and yeah, I'd like this, I'd like that. Three or four of them said, I want to know more gay history. I want to know about the people.
It was fascinating. The stories are just amazing.
Well, but you know what? That means they are interested in what we've done and what people who came before us did. So what we do and what people who came before us did is important. It makes a difference to them. And I'd rather be the example. And that's part of what's bothering me about this. Dave Gaynor worked on Don't Ask, Don't Tell after 17 years, and I'm saying he was successful. I'm giving him credit for being successful.
Oh, he's tremendously successful.
But I'm saying, I'm going beyond, yeah, the group effort that everybody worked on it. No, he worked on it so personally that he gets personal credit, and then he killed himself. I hate that part of it.
Well, it's just so tough. Again, it's, you know, if kids look up to that and say, oh, well, they gave up, then that gives me permission to do the same, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real problem, and I hope that hasn't happened, and I hope it will never happen. And each circumstance is different, and I don't know the circumstances.
We don't know the circumstances, as far as we know. No suicide, no nothing.
And that's fine. It's, yeah. And that's cool, but yeah. That was their decision. But I just think of the pain that their loved ones, their immediate family members, their extended family.
Tom's family wrote a beautiful letter to the community about all of the things that he contributed and how successful he was in Fort Worth. So his family saw what he was doing and was proud of what he was doing.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, you're saying sure. There are lots of families out there. You know, I was talking to a 16-year-old kid who has done some great work in organizing some GSAs over in Tarrant County, and he called me. He said, I got my own phone, so you can call me because his mother doesn't let him use the phone at home. And he said, I'm actually moving out. I said, you're moving out? Where are you moving? He said, oh, a friend of mine's going to let me stay at his house, because that's better than what he's been doing. This is a kid who's so smart. I mean, he is just, I can't wait to write the a letter for him for any college he wants to get into, because he's such a great kid and ambitious. I mean, when I first heard about his mother not supporting him, my reaction to it was, oh, you're okay, aren't you? I suddenly got worried. A 15-year-old kid whose mother isn't supporting him and could throw him out of the house. He said, no, you know, don't worry about me. I just have two more years of high school to get through, and then I'm going to college. I'm planning on going to law school after that, because I think that's the best way I can launch my political career. You know, he has it all. Great kid. And yet he has a mother who is completely non-supportive and basically was about to throw him out of the house, and he just wasn't going to get thrown out. He was going to move out on her first. And found himself a place to live with some friends of his. And
that's gutsy. That's gutsy for a kid his age.
It is. You know? I'm saying, I love this kid. I do. I look at him and say, if that's our next generation, we're in good shape here in the LGBT community. But so you're saying his family, Tom Annable's family, supported him. That's not always the case.
Yeah, it's not always the case at all.
I mean, and your family, my family, yeah, but, you know.
I mean, it just depends on how big your world is, too. I mean, for a lot of kids, a lot of young kids, all they know is their immediate family members and maybe some friends at school and some neighbors. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, one by one or en masse, they reject you because of who you are, And they do that in very real ways, you know, kicking you out of your home, withholding basic support things like food, shelter, clothing, mm-hmm. those sorts of things. You know, it is a pretty devastating world because it's small and it's negative and it's barren.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, it's really disturbing when kids turn to self-destruction, you know, either through some sort of, self-destructive behavior or literally self-destruction. Very, very, this is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad when anybody does it and there really is something better, you know, it would get better. And when it gets better, you know, if that possibility is there, it's just so sad to see kids go that path. And so it's disturbing to me to see leaders in our community take this choice, because it's, you know, people will look at that too. If they're looking at us, they're going to see that too. And it's just, you know, we miss them. We just miss them.
Mm-hmm.
I miss Dave tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I guess that's what I'm saying. It's a bad choice for yourself, obviously, but it's a bad choice for the community. And it sets just a horrible example for the community. And it's funny. How do you, even memorialize the person who took his own life like that? It's very difficult to do because you don't want to put what he did as his final act up as an example. You don't want to downplay the other things that he accomplished in his life. Dave accomplished an awful lot. Tom, in the last 3 years since he became an activist, I don't know anything about him before that because he was not an active member of the community that anybody would have known. But in the last 3 years, having formed Fairness Fort Worth, you know, Fairness Fort Worth is the group that was able to calm down the gay community in Fort Worth, get the city to sit down at the table with the LGBT community and to make some progress. And there are other people in Fairness Fort Worth who will take over.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, of course.
Yeah. Because one of the things that Tom helped establish was a good, viable organization. It wasn't just his show that, okay, he's gone, that's the end of the group. But how do you memorialize that when this is the end, when one of the goals of the group was end bullying, which causes suicide? I mean, I just find this so disturbing.
Well, I think we definitely do celebrate their lives and their mm-hmm. contributions, and it just makes me so sad. And I don't know why people choose that.
Mm-hmm.
In a real way, I mean, there are all times in our lives where we're in that place. I think where things are looking really bad and down, and maybe there's not a way out. You know, but thank God we don't choose those because it does get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. It just makes me sad that they don't choose to hang on and find that better moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes me sad. It really does. And I don't want to denigrate anything that they've done mm-hmm. and the accomplishments they've made. It just makes me sad that they're no longer here.
One of the things that happened, it happened right after we went off the air last week. Somebody went into the Family Research Council office in Washington, D.C. with a gun, shot somebody who's fortunately okay. He's recovering.
The security guard.
The security guard, yeah. Doesn't matter who it was there. It was wrong to do. What's your take on that? You know, the reaction of the Family Research Council is to blame the gay community for this, while taking absolutely no responsibility for any of the hate crimes that have gone on against the gay community because of their hate speech, and there was seemingly no understanding that they do the same thing day in, day out. That's what that organization exists for.
Well, the thing that really struck me was the whole statement from Tony Perkins, who's the president of Family Research Council, about the Southern Poverty Law Center that had classified his organization as a hate group. And, you know, that whole statement, and I don't have it in front of me, but that whole statement just sounded like he can't even see that that's he's really speaking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't incite, I think he incites hate within families, he incites hate within communities. And certainly, from a legal standpoint, he does nothing but I mean, anyone who puts a quotation marks around words that apply to our community, like marriage mm-hmm. and love, and respect and dignity. I mean, if you can't even call those legitimately our rights to have respect and dignity and love, much less marriage, I think that's speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very disturbing, and I thought, oh, I hope it's not somebody from the LGBT community.
And it was
somebody who had volunteered for.
I don't know if that person
months.
Was gay or not.
I don't either.
But at least an ally who was inspired by anyone
who does that is disturbed,
mm-hmm.
really disturbed.
Of course.
But he's just like all these other shootings. He purchased a gun legally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all of the stuff that happened, he did perfectly legally.
Mm-hmm.
So here was another one.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope it stops.
That's
not a solution either.
What I was hoping would happen as a result of that was that Perkins would tone it down and sit down and talk. But of course, that's not going to happen either. So, which is a shame. Well, speaking about somebody coming in with a gun in our heads, here's Clint, who just came and took over the studio. Stay tuned for Amy Goodman. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.